Hear again the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, the art of reading Scripture very much consists of knowing how to discern context and audience. Context and audience. It's always very important in the Scriptures as we read them. So let's look at this text from Deuteronomy in that light. What is the context of Deuteronomy? Well, it's in the Old Testament. You know that because it's toward the front of your Bible. It's one of the books of Moses, the fifth and final book. But more than that, where does Deuteronomy take place? Deuteronomy is a sermon, a catechetical sermon that Moses gives at Canaan's edge. See, up until this point, we've tracked with Israel. They went down to Egypt because God saved them from a famine by the hand of Joseph. They came back out of Egypt through the Red Sea when God saved them by the hand of Moses. Did I say Moses earlier? I meant Joseph. He saved them by the hand of Joseph from famine. He saved them from slavery by the hand of Moses. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You may recall that they had come up to the boundary. They had sent spies in, and the spies came back and told the people of Israel, there's no way we're making it in there. There's giants in the land. By the way, there's some great produce as well, but there's giants in the land. There's no way we can do this. And the people doubted, and the Lord told them, you will not enter the land. Instead, you will wander for a generation, and your children will inherit the land. And then the people go in and try to take it for themselves, and the Lord brings them into judgment. And now here we are, 40 years later, 40 years after the Exodus, 40 years after the crossing of the Red Sea, 40 years after Mount Sinai, 39 years after they had attempted to enter the land on their own. And here we are at Canaan's edge with a dying Moses and a people that are ready to enter into the land now that God has prepared it for them. So that's the context. This is the sermon preached to the people of God who are about to enter the promised land. Now, who is the audience? Well, we've hinted at that here, but it's this second generation, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, particularly the generation of Israelites that were born in the wilderness. They, perhaps, maybe some of the older of them, saw the crossing of the Red Sea, saw the triumph of Yahweh over the gods of Egypt. They saw and have tasted and seen that the Lord is good as He provided for them day in and day out for 40 years. Years. That is the audience of this text. And if you just stuck with those things, you'd think at the end of the day, well, this is about Israel, so it doesn't apply to us. Right? No. Consider again. Does God have two people? Israel and the church? The Jews and the Christians? Or something like that? No. Consider it this way. Does God have two brides? No. There is one bride in Revelation, one bride in Ephesians 5, one bride in Genesis 2. The Lord has one bride, one people, the church. So from Adam and Eve to St. Paul and everyone in between, even up to today, it is one people of God. Now, there certainly is different covenants. There is the covenant of Moses that was made at Mount Sinai. There is the New Testament that Jesus has inaugurated through his suffering and death. There is one people. There is one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. The people of old were saved in the same way as you and I were. There are different sacraments, so to speak. There was different ways that they fully understood what was going on. We have more of the scriptures, and so we know more of the picture. But they were very much saved in the same way that you were, by faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Read Hebrews 11 if you doubt what I'm saying there. So consider again, is this text to Israel or is it to us? This text is for us, dear Christians, and it's not just about Sunday school. It isn't, really. If you notice in the text, there doesn't say anything about getting together on 1 hour on Sunday morning. What does it say? You shall teach them diligently. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. This is the place that God's word has in our lives, dear Christians. Not just the kids, but all of us. Not just the families, all of us. See, God's word is not something that is contained to perhaps the 15-minute sermon, or maybe, if you're extra special, extra holy, for 2 hours on Sunday, including Bible study. God's word should be part of our entire life. It's something that is to be pondered day in and day out. And this isn't the time for me to just kind of shake my finger at you and tell you, you really better. But I want to invite you, dear Christians, I want to invite you into studying Scripture together as a congregation. And to that end, I've started, you might have noticed last week, we have these devotional booklets, The Congregation at Prayer. This is a time, a means for us to, together as a congregation, hear God's Word together, to think about it. And I invite you, if you read something this week in the readings and you're like, what is going on? Talk to me after Bible class or before Bible class. Talk to me after Sunday service. Let's have conversations about these things. If there's things that are confusing or things that are unclear, or maybe perhaps you see something for the first time that you've never seen before, let me know. I'd love to hear that. But really, the reason I started that, I used that resource, is so that we, dear Christians, begin to put God's word into our day-to-day lives. Because it is through his word that we receive life. Because it is through his word that we know who he is. He is the God that has created us. He is the God that when we fell, when we disobeyed him, he went after us. He saved us. He redeemed us from our sin. And he has set apart you, dear Christian, as his own possession. He has set apart us as the church, as his own possession. That people that he gives his gifts to, week in and week out, day in and day out. So, dear Christians, let us consider this year meditating upon God's word, because this is where we find our sustenance. If you wonder or consider, perhaps, if your faith, you find your faith is weak, you find your sins are great, you find your terrors and your uncertainties overwhelm you, dear Christian, hear the words of your Lord. This promise is for you. The promise of the forgiveness of sins Jesus has given to you through holy baptism. And you would only know that if you had read and come across this passage in Acts chapter 2 that is in our second reading. You see how Scripture over and over and over again is constantly driving us to confess our sins and is constantly telling us about our Savior, about the one who has shed his blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins and that we might have certainty in his name, certainty in his blood, certainty in his gifts. Dear Christian, you have salvation through Jesus Christ. And you might be thinking in this moment, well, but what about that one sin, Pastor? I sinned pretty bad this week. Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that. And yet he came and suffered and died for you. So that even that sin, dear Christian, that you are thinking about right now, that sin is forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Christian, Jesus Christ has suffered and died for your sake. That is then something we get to share, those of us that God has given children to. We get to share this salvation, this message to them, for the promises for you and for your children. And so that's why we get to, that's what we get to do as Christian parents or as members in the congregation that assist with Sunday school and things like this. As a congregation that welcomes children, that puts up with fussy days and fights and little things like that and little grubby hands. Why? Because this promise isn't just for us. This promise is for our children, for the little ones. And we are thankful at this time as a congregation that we have little ones in our pews. Even though they make sounds and sometimes don't make everything perfect, that's okay. Because the promise is for them. The promise of the forgiveness of sins is for them to receive as a gift. Just as you, dear Christian, have received these things as a gift. And so too, these things are for those that are far off, as St. Peter says. What does he mean by that? He means, for in that context, again, reading it in context with the audience, he's talking to the Jews in Jerusalem. He's telling them the promise of salvation that Jesus Christ is giving to you is also for the Gentiles. It's also for the people that are outside of Jerusalem that didn't come to the festival of Pentecost this day. Dear Christians, the promise is also for those that didn't come to church today. The promise is also for those that weren't raised Christian, that weren't baptized, that didn't go to Sunday school. Jesus Christ is extending that promise even to them, and sometimes that means certain weeks, things get a little interesting around here. And that's okay. That's okay when we have awkward interactions at the communion rail or awkward interactions in our day-to-day lives. Because Jesus Christ has had mercy upon you, dear Christian, and upon your children, and upon those other people that are far off from him. And that is what we, dear Christians, get to celebrate today on Christian Education Sunday, that this promise of the forgiveness of sins is for you, for your children, and for those who are far off. And thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who has given us this glorious promise that your sins are forgiven through his shed blood. In the name of Jesus, amen.